This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wee.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday. We are rapidly approaching the end of the year, but things on Bravo are not slowing down at all. It feels like we have more than ever to talk about.
I know. Today we're talking about OC and Southern Charm, and I had to text Dylan frantically this morning because you guys know my Wednesdays are packed, but I couldn't find the new Real Housewives of OC this week, and I had to watch it on the app on my phone for an hour, and it or 43 minutes, I should say.
I think your life would be better if you figured out how to get the Bravo app on your Apple TV.
Yeah, that'd work.
That's gonna. I feel like that should be your holiday gift to yourself.
It's just like Googling something. Yes, I will do it.
Okay, so we forgot to mention yesterday, this week we got the season 5 trailer for Summer House, which of course is notable because it was filmed fully in quarantine, so they're not going back and forth to the city like they normally would. Honestly, I think this is kind of the ideal format for Summer House. Pandemic obviously is not a good thing,
right?
But I feel like the fact that they're all stuck there could kind of make the show more interesting.
Or dramatic. Can you imagine literally drinking with your friends or people who you're not friends with for, let's say, 2 months and not leaving? Like, that could get a little hectic. But I am excited because I group Summer House with like my Siesta Key and like that it's a different reality show for me. And I just like I've always enjoyed shows like that. So I'm excited, but I love when they did go back to the city just for a little. Actually, I'm kind of excited to not see that part.
I think it's like those moments can be fun, but they never feel like necessary. Like seeing Carl and whoever at lunch in Soho is kind of like a little superfluous. So I'm excited for this. We have a new cast member, Sierra, the first Black woman on Summer House, and she's fucking hot as hell.
Yeah,
like,
yes,
oh my God.
I'm like, okay, I guess I shall start hitting the gym before bikini season starts.
I'm excited. It premieres first week of February, so we have a little bit to go, but obviously we will be talking about that when it starts. Also, did you see there was an article in the LA Times yesterday about Erica and Tom that was
okay.
It was a lot.
So someone DM'd me this morning and go, because they like they asked what do we think, and is it going to be a storyline? And this is just getting messier and messier, and you almost need like a notebook to write down like everything that's going on, and a Venn diagram.
It's pretty bad. Obviously Erica and Tom are not, you know, talking much about this right now because it's clearly going to be a big legal thing, but in this article they have some kind of new insights from, I guess, the legal community on the last few years and kind of where the problems had started for Tom. It was like back in 2015, there was this big issue. It seems pretty bad. And like, if all of this evidence is actually real, and like, if the stuff that seems like it happened actually happened, like people could go to prison. Like it's not, it's pretty bad. I mean, in terms of season 11 of Beverly Hills, my kind of ideal goal right now in terms of what I think is realistic, I assume Erica's not going to be able to say much. And I expect that we're going to get basically like, I'm getting divorced. Like, there's this lawsuit. I can't talk about it, but I want the other women to talk about it. Like, I want to see the scene of when, you know, Dorit's in the car and she gets a notification on her phone, and then she FaceTimes Kyle and they're like, oh my God, like, we deserve that. And I hope they give it to us. I don't know how much in detail we're going to get, but like, how can you not talk about this?
I know, but I did have a thought this morning. I shouldn't say it because I don't want to manifest it, but I was like, what if this gets to the point where Erica like doesn't stops filming, you know? But then I was like, you know what? No, because that's a different part of her life. She still could need the show. She could do her like Erica Jean focus on that as opposed to like her marriage, which she doesn't really focus on in the show as it is.
It's, I mean, I think the kind of criticism of Erica that a lot of people have had is that she doesn't really focus on anything that much that's going on in her life. She's obviously brought certain things onto the show and talked about certain stuff sometimes, but she's not a housewife that has had sort of a personal storyline for a lot of the time she's been on the show. And that has been something that some people haven't, you know, appreciated. So I think it'll be, it's one thing when we don't know what's going on in her life and she's not talking about it, but now that there's this kind of huge elephant in the room, first with the divorce and then with all of this legal stuff, it's like, it's going to be extra frustrating if they try and brush it under the rug because we already know what's going on.
Right.
You know?
You cannot hide from us. Okay. Like we fucking know everything.
I fully understand if it's like, we can't fully discuss what's going on, but like we have to acknowledge it.
Correct. Okay. We need to talk about our shows today, but I also want to just mention, and we'll obviously talk about it next week, is the Southern Charm reunion that they filmed and their fashion choices, I should say. I don't even want to acknowledge it, but we have to. I
don't understand most of the outfits.
Madison is a smoke show. I have said this before. Who let her wear that dress? She looks like better when she wears jean stripes. Shorts. Yeah, jean shorts and a white tank top. Like she looks flawless.
And Catherine is blonde, and I believe OC is taping their reunion today. So we're getting down to the wire on both of these shows.
Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week. Grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite. Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Let's start with OC. So on this week's episode, we are beginning our trip to Lake Arrowhead, which I just have to note, Lake Arrowhead is where Stassi Schroeder's mom, Dana, lives. And when I first found out they were going to Lake Arrowhead, I was like, my ideal scenario would be if Dana Schroeder like came knocking at the door to try and like weasel her way onto Real Housewives. Because of quarantine, I don't think that's going to happen, but you know, a girl can dream. So
I want to go to Lake Arrowhead very badly.
It's beautiful. It's so scenic.
Gorgeous. But we do see that Emily can't go.
It's not what we're accustomed to, though, for a housewives trip. But
exactly. But we see that Emily can't go on the trip because she tested positive for COVID. So.
Yeah. So both Emily and Shannon don't go on the trip. Shannon, because all of her daughters have COVID. Emily, because she has COVID, but she has no symptoms, or I guess she says she has no energy, which is a symptom, but she's not really ill. But Shane is not doing well. And later in the episode, she takes him to the hospital. And obviously we know Shane is okay now, but it seems like he was really going through it for a while over the summer.
Yeah, and it's really scary because if you think about being in Emily's shoes for a second, like she has three little kids, she has COVID, they can't have help come into the house. Like, so it's right. like a lot, it's a lot. And she's taking care of everybody. But it's funny looking at Shannon, because her three daughters have it, she doesn't. And it's almost funny because she took it so seriously and she's like, see, and I feel like her daughters like feel bad somewhat.
I hope her daughters not really. Feel bad somewhat. Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing where like I can't say for sure if I was a teenager when all of this was happening, like how I would have acted if I would have been following all the rules, but clearly a lot haven't, you know, like Shannon was trying to set all these rules and clearly they weren't followed. And, you know, there's only so much you can do, but it definitely seems like some poor choices were made.
Right. When Emily FaceTimed Kelly and told her that she wasn't coming because she had COVID, Kelly's reaction, I was like, yeah, this is real. See, people get the disease. It's the virus. It's real. She was like, oh, wait, you do? Like, as if it was like a light bulb went off that she knew someone that actually got it.
Yeah. So a couple of them mentioned how they thought Emily had been really careful, and so they were surprised that she had caught it. But I don't know, in the context of this group, I don't know what really careful kind of what their threshold is, because I would say that these women overall have not been super careful. And I actually think it's interesting we get a little COVID drama in this episode, because before Bronwyn shows up to Lake Arrowhead, the other women are talking about this video that they saw of her and Sean at a pool with other people not wearing masks. Like, it's interesting. Obviously, I don't think Kelly and Elizabeth are the ones to be policing COVID activity, but it's interesting that they are kind of having these discussions, because that's kind of how I feel when I'm on social media and I see something someone posts and I'm like, do you know what's going on right now? But at the same time, it's like Elizabeth thinks the virus is man-made. So like, what is she talking about? Like,
dude, I can't talk about her anymore. We'll get to this conversation that they had, but when she was like, I grew up, like they're talking about white privilege and she was like, I'm poor. And like, but I'm driving around my Ferrari. And I was like, no, you're so like tone deaf. It's ridiculous. You just don't participate in the conversations.
Everything about her makes me like itchy. Like, So we're going to like Arrowhead. Bronwyn is clearly a little stressed because it's her first kind of trip like this, not drinking. And she's been, I think it's an interesting dynamic that for most of the time she's been sober, she's been in this quarantine bubble, basically, where she doesn't have alcohol at her house. She's not seeing a lot of other people. She's not going out or anything. And this is kind of like a test, being in this house where when she walks in, there's like 5 million bottles. I don't even know why they had that much alcohol.
Okay. Here, I have some thoughts on this and you know, I tend to agree yet disagree with my own thoughts, but here's what I'm thinking. She's entitled to go to this getaway, obviously, but because this is so new for her, it is a test. You're right. And it is going to be hard. However, when she had her vow renewal, it was absolutely respectful for the women not to be drinking in front of her. That's fine. But when they go on a girls trip, they're also entitled to drink and have fun and like not like tiptoe around her. So in that case, I was like, well, you know, like they could tone it down a little, but they went away like to party and to have fun and to have a girls weekend. Bronwyn was being strong and was, you know, I thought it was great that she didn't stay there. She was leaving because she wants to go to sleep at 10 p.m., like not when they start partying. So it was like, I see both sides of it, but at the same time, I feel like the women shouldn't be penalized in this situation for drinking and for having fun. Yes, they did have a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, I think it's all about a balance. I don't think anyone, Bronwyn included, it would say like these women shouldn't be drinking on the trip. Yeah. I do think it's a little bit like having all the excessive bottles like laid out on this table. It's like you can have an alcohol cabinet, like you can have it in the fridge, but like there was the way it felt like almost deliberate. And I was like, why is it like this? So this episode I would say is light on drama, but the one kind of the one kind of like simmering source of drama we have is this ongoing situation with Elizabeth, where Bronwyn was like doing this digging about her, and now Elizabeth has found out about it. And so
from Emily, because she's a shitster that no one really talks about.
Emily is like an under the radar shitster. Yes. But the thing is, I feel like a lot of the time shitsters are like the best housewives. And for Emily, somehow it just like doesn't quite click. Like she doesn't, you like forget that she was involved at the end of the day rather than being like, yes, queen. But so Elizabeth is obviously unhappy about Bronwyn doing this. And you would think that when Bronwyn shows up, she would, you know, confront her. But at the end of the day, she's like, you know, no, we've been having such a nice time. Like, it's okay. And it's like, Elizabeth, why do you think you're on this trip right now? Start the drama. Come on.
Right. And it's great because you do wonder, I guess, like why Bronwyn did do that. But a lot of people I know research other people and like get down to it. Why? I'm not sure, because like it doesn't affect your life. I don't know. But it is true. Bronwyn, if you're going to research it, they both need to bring it up to each other. If you're like, Bronwyn, if you're going to research it, bring it up to Emily. Elizabeth, if she doesn't bring it up to you. And Elizabeth be like, if that were me, I'd be like, why the fuck are you Googling me?
Right. Like,
you why find are you anything you like?
Why are you looking at my home foreclosure history? Like, that's shady. And I don't think Bronwyn was wrong for doing it, but I think Elizabeth should confront her.
Yeah. She's like, I don't think she has as much money as she says she does. And like, no shit, Bronwyn, like that took you to Google that to figure that out. Like, are you
not a billionaire? So Bronwyn shows up and the other women are talking about Shannon and her whole like COVID situation and how she's stressed out. And Bronwyn sort of immediately is like, I don't want to talk about this, and like goes outside. So she's not in the room, and she for some reason is suddenly like very averse to any kind of talking about Shannon behind her back. And again, it's one of those things where I'm like, do you know what show you're on? Like, do you know the situation you're in right now? Like, this is what happens on Real Housewives.
Dylan and I are begging to get on the show, like in general. Would be our last choice, but bring us on to like start the drama. We could do it. But it's weird because these women are no strangers to talking shit about each other. And then all of a sudden you're thrown into a house and like, I can't say anything. I can't talk about it. It's like, what's happening?
For maybe the only time this season, I think I sort of agree with Kelly when she's like, you didn't have a problem talking shit to Tamara last season when it was about me. Like, it's just so... it's so like nonsensical to act like you're above talking about someone behind their back on Housewives when it's like that is literally the whole concept of the show. Well,
Kelly had no thought to not talk about Bronwyn while she was standing in front of her while they were at the beach and they were all kayaking, doing whatever, and paddleboarding, and she FaceTimed Shannon to let her know what's up. And it's so crazy to me because if this were me, I know we always say if this were me, blah blah blah, walk away. Or like, here's the thing, she turned over on her stomach midway through the conversation, so like you couldn't see who was coming. So Bronwyn came and like she didn't stop talking about her, but she didn't use her name. So I was like, I see what you did there, Kelly. Like she kind of like was cool about it, but Bronwyn knew exactly what she was doing, and Bronwyn already feels uncomfortable there, and now it's like 10 times worse.
I have to say, Lake Arrowhead is beautiful, but this beach is so sad. Ugh. There's like little like weeds all over the sand. Like it doesn't look nice at all.
Like at the beach. I feel like they were at like the dock, like at in the backyard where like it's not taken care of.
I mean, I've been to a beach at a lake. It's usually not that nice. Like that's not like, it's not the prettiest beaches, but they're doing their best. So I guess, I don't know. We get back inside and they're having this conversation about Black Lives Matter and stuff. And again, surprise, surprise, Gina is suddenly the, you know, shining beacon of reason in this cast. And she is, you know, talking about how she can understand the conversation about police brutality and white privilege, because last year when she was arrested, she was stressed out because of the situation and what was happening, but never because it never crossed her mind that she could be unsafe because of the police involvement. And I thought that was actually like a really good understanding from her, and for her to, it's a good way for her to explain that it's like, if there's even a chance that it would have gone differently if I was not white, that's not okay. And I think, you know, that's the kind of thing where she has learned something. And, you know, it clearly Kelly and Liz are not quite on the same page.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, well, Gina has really stepped up her game this season. Like, in the beginning, I felt a little different, but now I'm like, you know what? She's like the most level-headed, it seems so far. But Bronwyn was saying how we have to have these uncomfortable conversations until they're not uncomfortable anymore, which I liked that, how she said that. But with this group of women, like, a conversation turns into an argument, and not just these women, with everybody. And so you have to let each person speak and share their feelings and then talk. And with them, it's just like, that's not going to happen. And unfortunately.
Yeah. I appreciate that they are bringing up these topics on OC, but unfortunately this is just like not the show that is going to have the most, you know, inspiring discussion about police brutality, right. But it's important that they are talking about it. And I appreciate that they're not just like, you know, editing this out or pretending it didn't happen. Yeah. So that's OC. We're still at Lake Arrowhead next week. We'll see how it goes. Southern Charm, meanwhile, we're dealing with, now at least none of the cast has COVID anymore, so nobody's in quarantine, which is nice. Shep and Taylor are not going super smoothly after coming out of quarantine, though.
Well, it's so, I feel like I want to like them so bad, but their relationship seems so awkward to me. It's like whenever they walk into a room with each other, it's the first time they've seen each other and they're meeting. And I'm just like, aren't you guys dating? Like, don't you have feelings for each other? It's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, come on, give some more affection. And then when she, like, yeah, he joked about making out, she just like laid on his chest. I was like, they didn't even kiss. Like, I want something.
I mean, I get when you say it's like, I want them to work. It's like, I guess, like, if they're happy, I want them to be happy together. But like, I feel like we don't actually know anything about Taylor. We've only actually seen her on the show for a few episodes. So I'm like, I don't actually know if they have much in common, if they even like know each other super well. And so I like that Shep seems like he's trying to put in effort and be, you know, an adult in a relationship, but I'm not going to pretend that I like really care about Shep and Taylor's love for each other. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. I see what you're talking about.
No, I mean, I like that Shep is being an adult in a relationship, but it's like Taylor is not someone that I'm like rooting for at this point. Cause
yeah,
she's a stranger.
We don't know her, but we have to just, you know, talk about for just a smidge is this Leva and Catherine and Danny, it's still going on. Catherine is still walking around with her jewel and smoking it. And I'm just like, girl, put it down. Like, I can't, she's so, I want to find the right word to describe her, but I don't know. Maybe ignorant is right for right now. I don't know. She just feels that she's in a fairy tale land and nothing is wrong. And she's like, I did nothing wrong. Like, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, so obviously in terms of the initial like Instagram comments and DMs, whatever, like that, she's just completely head in the clouds, won't accept that there was any possibility that she did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And then on another level, the whole issue with Danny, she's like, she has no idea why Danny's mad at her or has an issue with her, is frustrated with her. She just like truly doesn't get it. And it just is the kind of thing where it's been what, like 3 episodes now since this whole situation started. And it seems clear that Catherine isn't interested in trying to understand. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't really want to hear you complain to Craig and Austin that you don't get it when you haven't actually like put in any work. And I think when Leva is talking to Patricia and Madison about it, I think she's spot on when she says, you know, I don't want Catherine to be canceled, jump off the bridge, whatever. Like, I want her to focus on herself and actually like look deeper inside, read a book, educate yourself, and actually like do the work to understand it. Don't just say like, y'all are mad at me, I didn't do anything wrong, I don't get it. Like, try to get it, put in the effort.
Yeah. And then Patricia says that the boys coddle her. And then later on Watch What Happens Live with Craig and Austin were on there, Andy asked him about that. And Craig was like, we don't coddle her. Like, I'm just whoever it is, if I'm friends with, I'm there for them. I don't like, I'm not going to like protect that person, even though what they did was wrong, but I'm going to be there for them. So he was like, I don't agree with that statement at all. Like,
Coddle, if he doesn't like that word, that's fine. But I will say, I don't think they're trying to hold Catherine accountable in the way that Danny and Leva are. And so it's certainly easier for Catherine to, you know, go and vent her frustrations to them than it is with the women right now, which I think, you know, if you don't want to say coddling, that's fine. But it's like, you're not really like holding her feet to the fire and getting her to, you know, make any changes or come to any understanding. So, I mean, Craig, get over it. I mean, whatever. I just think Catherine sucks, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, like we can't talk about her, but we have Boys Day at Patricia's, which is like a super fun play date that I wish I was like kind of at.
They have newspaper on the tables. We're doing a low country boil.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring has sprung, and that means it is time for some spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring ones, make sure you are using Ibotta to get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you are purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, a new warm weather bedding set, or a flight for that summer getaway you've been eyeing. Other apps, they give you points that don't amount to much. But with Ibotta, you just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and you get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying by using the code MENTION when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code MENTION. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code MENTION.
Okay, I have to say, at the beginning of the day when they're setting up, it's raining outside and then the sun comes out in time for the boil. I could like feel the humidity through the screen. I just was like being in this like swampy backyard with this like hot boiling food. I'm like,
there's flies and
I would be like terrible. Sweating through my shirt in 10 minutes. I just know it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because when we talked about this last week, we were like that we saw this was coming. Like we thought they were just getting like blacked out outside, but then like realizing now it's because Patricia doesn't want anyone in the house because the house is sterile. So I was like, oh my God, it makes so much sense when she was like pee anywhere, like go outside, like stay outside.
Right. They made it look like she was throwing like a rager for them.
Yes. Like- but of course, so there's a bartender, which I think is so funny when you have four people over to have a bartender hand you a beer in a bottle. But of course, John Pringle thinks she's hot because I feel like he thinks anything walking is hot, but
man, she is smoke.
Yeah. So they had Austin brought his beer and Patricia, who I've never seen drink a beer in my life, asked for a beer, but she wanted the other beer, like the Red Stripe, particularly not Austin's beer. And she goes, I'm going to pour it in this glass so nobody knows what I'm drinking. But like, again, Patricia, tell them what you're drinking, honey. Tell them you're not drinking Austin's beer.
Patricia. I mean, of course I love Patricia on the show, but she is just like a little too petty sometimes. It's like, just drink the fucking beer. Like nobody drinking a can of Trop Hop is not going to like make you like team Austin instead of Madison. And it's interesting. So when she sits down with Austin, they're having this conversation, and I don't know. I think that she's a little bit harsh. She's basically telling him, like, you know, I wasn't a fan of you together, and I don't think love trumps all, and it's about timing. I understand where she's coming from, but at the same time, it's like, this still doesn't really concern you.
It not only does it not concern her, I know she's looking out for Madison because they're like, you know, best buds, but I'm sorry, I agree with Austin when Austin says, basically, why should he be taking relationship advice from her? Like, was she ever in love or was it always about the money? And I was like, oh, burn, Austin, because yeah. Patricia has been married, what, four times, whatever. And so they're young. Austin's 30 something years old. Like they're going through a breakup.
I will say, I do think the guys actually have some better advice for him when they're saying, like, it's clear, like, you're allowed to be upset, but it's clear at this point that she is done. Like, she doesn't like you like that anymore, whatever. That it's like Austin, his energy is still so focused on, like, proving himself to her or, like, showing her whatever. And it's like, I think the sooner he can get to the understanding that it's like, it's over, I need to move on, like, that's going to be beneficial to him. Cause I can't keep watching the, like, you know, like, she doesn't think I'm this man, but I am this man. And it's like, okay, maybe she just, like, said that, but just doesn't want to date you anymore.
Right. Okay. So I need to know how you feel about this. When Austin brought that up to John Pringle, because they haven't seen each other really, and basically told John Pringle that Madison is off limits sexually or relationship wise, where do you stand with that?
Okay. I think I agree with Austin in this context, because while I think the whole talking about, like, bro code or whatever, like, yeah, okay, that's stupid. But I do understand that it's like, he's not saying, you know, like, I'm going to have you killed if you go after Madison. But it's like, if we're going to continue to, like, hang out with each other, I don't want you to date her. And I think that's fair, because Austin and John Pringle weren't friends before this season started filming. It didn't seem like they knew each other really. So it's like, it's not like some years long friendship that it's like, it's me or her. It's like, no, just like, if you're going to date her, I don't really want to hang out with you. And I think that's fair.
Yeah. I think that's fair also. But at the same time, John Pringle needs to, like, slow his roll, or he called that too. As a 43-year-old, he said bro code. That's weird, but, like, know your place. Like, that's really weird.
Also, they just broke up and he was hitting on her while they were still together.
Yeah.
It would be different if it was like a year after they broke up and it was like, we started talking and hit it off, but it's like, you've been trying to get with her this whole time. So why wouldn't Austin feel weird about the fact that it's like, oh, you broke up, now I'm going to swoop in. Like, that's kind of icky.
Yeah. It's gross. But then there's something else that we need to talk about, because I need to know where you stand on this too. Craig and Madison meet up. They are quote unquote friends. They meet up to, you know, just reconnect and talk about where Madison and Austin stand. And Craig is telling Madison, the only way is for you to walk away and to not talk to him anymore. And I was kind of shocked. I was like, jaw-dropping shocked watching this conversation.
I agree with Craig. I think they can still be in group settings together. I don't think it's like they need to never come into contact ever again. But if Madison is the one who's saying, we're not right for each other, this is not what I want, it's unfair of her to then turn around and call Austin when she need someone to talk to or feels low. I feel like a lot of us have been in that situation where it's like, it's clear somebody doesn't want to be in a relationship with you or has turned you down or whatever, but then still kind of reaches out for attention. And it's like, I don't want to just give you attention if you've, like, made it clear that this isn't a thing. Like, it's not fair to him.
Right.
Because
Austin
clearly is having trouble in terms of, like, moving on and being over it. So at the very least, I feel like it would be courteous of Madison to kind of let him have the space to do so.
Right. And at that point, Craig was like, you need to like not talk to him anymore. And Madison was like, well, okay, well, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to. But at the same time, I thought that was not Craig's place at all. I think that was absolutely ridiculous of him to do. Talk about bro code. Like, you do not do what he did. I thought it was interesting, again, watching them last night. And Andy even asked, they were like, Austin, how did you feel about that? Because that's just like not what your friend does. And Austin was like, Craig and Shep had to sit him down and tell him that they did that. They had this conversation so he didn't find out from watching on the show. Because that's just like,
see, I didn't take it that way. I don't know, like, I didn't watch What Happens Live, but like, to me, it's like sometimes you don't know what you need when you're in a situation. Like, you can't see it for yourself. You can't, as Shep would say, you can't see the forest for the trees. And so it's like sometimes I think your friend kind of has to see that and be like, okay, like, I want Austin to be good. And for that to happen, like, Madison needs to stop calling him. But then again, maybe that's a discussion to be had rather than you just go automatically to Madison.
Totally. I don't know. I think his heart was in the right place. I don't think Craig was being malicious. I think he was being a good friend. But at the same time, like, that, I don't know. You and Patricia have a talk.
This has been, wow, what fun recapping these episodes. Barry, tell us who your number one Bravo Leb of the week is.
My Bravo Leb this week is, shoot, I gave it to Whitney last time because he popped up there when I ended it. I'm going to give it to Bronwyn. I am, because I appreciated her strength going to a girls' weekend for the first time. That is very, very difficult. So that's going to her. What about you?
I'm going to go with Austin this week.
Guys, because we make this the hardest question like that we've ever.
We really do. It's not that deep. I forget who I say right after. I'm going to go with Austin just because I feel like he's kind of going through it and he's getting a lot of input from a lot of different angles. And I think overall he's dealing with it, you know, better than maybe expected.
And I do have to say his outfit was very nice for the reunion. So I don't want to put him in my category. I think I just have a major crush on Austin. I'm sorry.
I mean,
Austin,
seeing Kristen Cavallari on his shoulders like that. Ooh.
It was so hot.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check out the Bravo by Betches merch collection at shop.betches.com. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. Barry, what's your Instagram handle?
Barry Rosenfeld.
And I'm at Dylan Hafer on Instagram. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a Wild Berry Splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches.